Isn't it wonderful to come into the house of the Lord and just to worship Him and to love on one another as well? That's a big part of why we gather, just to encourage one another. Why don't you stand up with me as we open with a word of prayer and just invite His presence. Lord God, thank You for this day. Thank You for the privilege we have to join together in Your house. And for those who aren't able to be here, they're online, also joining with us in spirit to come together as a family to honor and worship You, Lord. We just pray for Your blessing to flow freely in this place as we love You and as we serve You with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get started here with Hallelujah. Actually, we got our drummer here, so I might wait just a minute.
Yeah, give it a second.
Sometimes you just get that move of the Spirit, and you just can't help but sing. I had somebody here actually tell me something about how they sometimes like to have church at home and listen online, because then they can really sing out and not have to worry about being off key or something. I'm not going to say who that was, but I said, you know what? I think we're okay if you want to sing out right here. I don't care if you're on key or not. Just sing, amen? And we're not worried about sounding like professional singers here.
And clap.
Clapping's allowed in the church? Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
Oh, whew. We can clap, we can sing, we can raise our hands, we can shout. We can even just shout it out with gladness. Hallelujah. Well, this next song, I found out, is known by only a couple people here on the platform. I'm picking out these songs thinking, this is going to be good, this is going to be great. And they're like, what is this? I've never seen this before. I'm like, what? What? And there's a reason why we're doing this song. Some of you will recognize it. A mighty fortress is our God. I'll have to slow it down so I can get all the words and all the chord changes. But I hope that as we sing this, some of you who are from maybe a different background, some of the churches that still continue to sing many hymns, this is one of them. But this is a special song, and I'll tell you why. It was written by a man by the name of Martin Luther. And he stood up for truth and changed the course of the direction of the church for years and years to come. Even today, we feel the influence of that. We are a Protestant church that has been influenced by his works and by his leadership. Now, I don't agree with every single thing that Martin Luther stood for. If you've studied his life, you probably know why I would say that. But he had a call in his life to do something different than what had been happening at the time. And that will play into the message later today. There's depth to our faith. It's more than Savior, God, who is my friend. And this one certainly does a good job of bringing some of that out. So let's sing it with all that we have within us. A mighty fortress is our God. And just so you know, this is really high because it's original. So pray for me.
Above all earthly powers,
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you have an offering today, we encourage you to continue in your faithfulness. Your faithfulness allows for us to do things above and beyond. I'm excited. I was going to share it later, but I'm excited that we were able to take on 3 new missionaries at our last board meeting because of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's exciting. And we did find funds. Appreciate Doug, who's our treasurer. We were kind of teasing him, but he kept finding us money. Hey, we got something here. And so we were able to come up with a plan to finish what we started on the interior work of our entrance for our church. So I'm thankful for what God has done and his faithfulness. We still need the continued faithfulness, giving, offerings, even above and beyond. But thank you for your faithfulness to allow for God to do some wonderful things. So let's pray and ask a blessing that would be on that prayer, on the offering time as well. Lord, thank you for the blessing it is to give, that we can honor you with our service, with our finances, with our offerings, our gifts, and our tithes. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will just bless your people wonderfully, your children who are so faithful. For those who are online, we pray a blessing on them as well. I know that throughout the week, many people are just giving through the online opportunities. And I just know that your blessings are being poured out on them as well. We just praise you for this, and we ask your continued guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can come with the offering as we continue to sing and bless the Lord. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left and stay, he washed it white as snow. Lord, and now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Life up from Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that we can serve you with our whole hearts. That we can come into your holiness. And that we can live lives of holiness. That we can serve you and represent you to those that we love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Was a time when the holiness of God kept everyone at a distance. You couldn't be around his glory. His Shekinah glory would kill you. And so there were a select group of people that were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies on a very rare occasion. There are traditional stories that can't be verified with Scripture, but they're believed to be true. That when a high priest entered the holiness of God's presence, if he wasn't pure and clean and sacramentally washed and all the things he had to do to be there, if he came into that room, he would be stricken dead immediately. So the stories are told that he would wear a bell on his body somewhere, and they tied a rope to his ankle, because if the bell stopped ringing, that means he wasn't moving anymore, and he's probably dead. Anybody to go in there to retrieve him would have died, so they just pull him out by the rope. I don't know if that's actually true. It's an interesting story if it is. But I do know this. There was a time when the battles had been won and the Ark of the Covenant was being moved and it was going to fall from the cart that was being used to pull it, which wasn't the way God wanted it done. Somebody reached up to stop that from happening and he died. He touched the Ark, the Covenant of God. Somebody would say, well, that was unfair. I mean, he was trying to keep it from falling off the cart. I mean, but he touched his holiness. I can't comprehend what it means that now I, as one who has submitted to Jesus Christ as my King, my Lord, Savior, am not only able to come into the holiness of God's presence, but the Word of God declares that we have now become His temple. That we can actually have His Spirit in us. And we don't die. I don't deserve that. That honor, that privilege, it's beyond me. And here we are. Able to know him, to hear him. He doesn't speak to a priest or a prophet and then they relay a message. He speaks to you. He speaks through me as your pastor, but he speaks to you in prayer. And you have the privilege to speak to him. You don't have to bring an animal sacrifice, a grain sacrifice, a sparrow. You don't have to come up with a certain amount of money and then offer it, and then you're allowed to go beyond that first gate. You have privilege today to know him as he is known. This song is all about a position of awesomeness to realize, wow, I can go into his presence today. Let's not take it for granted, shall we? But let's just sing this song and what it can represent for a miracle to know him, to be with him. The relationship has already begun. We don't have to wait for heaven. We can know him now. Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I wanna see your face.
that's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me past the outer court, sanctum, and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me into the Holy of Holies.
Aren't you glad you don't have to wait for heaven to know him? You don't have to wait for some long-distant future plan to come together. He's with you today, right now. He's speaking to your heart right now. He's embracing you with the glorious love that he has for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. One so undeserved, but so wonderfully blessed. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. We just thank you, Lord, for ministering to our hearts today. Someone needed a lift in their spirit, a reminder of your awesome love and the challenge of your holiness. Thank you for that. We just pray, God, that you will have freedom to move in this place, in this service, in the lives of your people as we continue in faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Thank you.
Oh, praise God. It's good to come together, amen? I'm so glad you're able to be here today. We have a couple things happening. We do have a video we're going to share about the update on the BGMC offerings going forward. And I don't know, did somebody already count things from what came in, or was that going to happen later?
Later.
It's later, later, of course. Okay, because we wouldn't want to break that next threshold too early, would we?
No.
Why don't you go ahead and show that video if you got it ready? Let's start off just a couple announcements with this one right here. Currently $1,258, huh? All right. But we just had an offering, and if you feel like you missed out on the buckets, we'll always take those after the service. You're welcome to throw in that extra little bit to get them over that hump. So, I shared last week with the board, and did I do that on Sunday? I don't recall. But we were so wonderfully blessed to find out at our network council that we were the top givers for world missions in our division for attendance of an average of 50 to 100 people. So God has been so good to bless you the missions of your giving. So thank you for that. Wow. Just world missions alone was over $27,000 that this church gave last year. That didn't include U.S. missions, BGMC, or Speed to Light. So that is just an amazing, wonderful blessing. And I thank you for your faithfulness to the missionaries in our world and in our country as well. So that's cool. And we're doing a good job with the BGMC getting that going as well. So, and pizza sales, are they done for the speed?
Pizza sales are done, and Lou is tallying it all up.
All right, Lou is tallying it all up, and so the pizza sales are done, and that's wonderful as well. So let's see, anything I should bring out specifically? Common Ground is this week. Pastor Jason, I believe, is the speaker this week, so that's cool. And there is a pastor's kids retreat coming up as well they're going to be a part of and helping getting other pastor's kids to the event. Outdoor movie night. And this is pre-mosquitoes, we're hoping, right?
But not pre-snakes.
But not pre-snakes? We've seen snakes already? Hallelujah, we've seen snakes. So, well, that's not a hallelujah. Sorry. Well, I killed 11 of them with the weed whacker last year. Woohoo! I shouldn't be proud of that. But they were mostly I think they were all rattlers. So I shouldn't kill rattlers, but I did. I should? Well, I've got friends that say I shouldn't. How many? Let's have a vote. How many say kill the rattler? Kill the rattler. Okay, how many say save the rattler? Oh, boy. It looks like the saved group loses. They lose. Now, you have to trade in your rattler for a mouse. That's the rule. So, all right. Yeah, everybody's like, ooh. I'm taking too long on announcements. I'm sorry. Mother's Day is coming up next week. That's exciting. So we're just so thankful that we can honor all the moms, the grandmothers. And I like to also include aunts or aunts, depending on where you're from, because I think women in general have a wonderful motherly influence regardless of children that they have raised. So we're going to just honor women on this wonderful special day. Kids Quest Mayfair is coming up. That'll be exciting. Lots of good activities like the medieval times with all the games. It'll be fun. And so then dinner church is the big thing I'm excited about. We have a vision for doing a church plant here in our own community. Some of you have heard a little bit about it. I'm learning more about what it can become. And I hope that if you're interested to be a part of this, that you'll sign up on the sign-up sheet and come to the May 16th meeting and we are going to explain in detail what it will be like. And hopefully, Lord willing, by this fall, we'll be up and running with a ministry to our community that is unlike this community's ever seen before. And it's for them, it's not for us. I want to stress that. The intention of this is to reach people with the good news of God's love for them and the relationship they can begin today. And that they can grow and know Him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And it's through the gospel that we've been learning about that we will then be able to present that. And so be praying about that. We have some of the pieces already together. Some haven't come into play yet. But please, if you're interested, be a part of that. And if you have questions, certainly ask me, and I'll do my best to explain it to you as well. So there you go. Is that good? We got it covered? All right, let's dismiss our kids for BGMC classes and downstairs, Kids Church BGMC. We call it all kinds of wonderful things. And while they're going, we're going to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You might find this passage of Scripture familiar. There's a reason for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read the same text I had last week. And so if you missed out on last week's service, you're going to get the same text. And you're going to say, oh, good, I didn't miss out. There was other specific points that I brought into play that I probably will not repeat. But, so if you missed out on last week's message, you're going to want to take it in through YouTube or go to our website and it'll connect you to where you need to be. Somebody that found out that they can actually get our services live streamed right to their TV now. Somebody that has a smart TV that didn't know how to run it, apparently, to the highest level of its ability. But they're excited now. I won't say who that was. I thought that was cute. So you are able to go to YouTube and get that and see the service and hopefully be encouraged. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, and I'm going to stress that, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. That is a very important passage of Scripture for us to understand what is the gospel. But we're going to jump ahead to verse 20 and take in a few more understandings from specific points that will help us to know what is the gospel message that we should be preaching and teaching. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Right then and there, we see this truth. Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. But it doesn't just say that. It also says, so will you. See, you're getting a fuller understanding of this gospel message. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For in an Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own accord, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Now we're going on into eschatology. That's a big word. The end times understanding of what is yet to come. We're talking about what we have deemed by reading Thessalonians, something called the rapture. And it's right here, even in the description of the gospel message being taught and preached. Each in his own accord, I'll say verse 23 again. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. And when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. You're like, what? What is this? Well, it explains verse 28. When all things are subjected to him, meaning Jesus the Son, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Whew! That's deep. There has been many debates and discussions. What does that really mean? That Jesus is now going to be subjective under the Father. Well, that's nothing new. That is not new. But when it comes to the understanding of the kingdom of God and his authority to be the judge over the earth, that has been given to Jesus by the Father. And the day will come when all has been said and done, and death has been completely over, reigning victorious over death, then he himself is now subjected under the Father, and all is as should be, as it has been in the beginning and all the way through time. So, you may recall that Jesus had actually said to his disciples, I don't say anything or do anything except by the Father's will. That's my paraphrase, but he says it very specifically and vividly. So if you want to see the will of God accomplished through Jesus Christ, you must understand and know that he will only do what the Father's will is. Not my will, Lord, Father, but yours be done. So here we are. Salvation, creeds, and the gospel. Creeds, yep, the creeds. So we're going to talk about things. This is more educational today. If you get really super excited and just enthusiastic and jump up and shout amen and hallelujah, that's okay. You can do that. That's perfectly fine, and that's in order, right? We're so reserved here. We don't ever do that. But I'm just saying, it's an educational message. You may not have as much emotional attachment, but there might just be that one that gets really super excited. I actually have a friend that would probably do that if he were here today. He'd be so excited. We're going to talk about the creeds. Hallelujah! He would be really super passionate. He's my good friend. His name's John, and I don't know if he ever watches me, but if you're there, John, hey, cool. That's fun. The difficulty of this series, it's been tough. It's been hard to put into words what God has placed on my heart because it's deep and it's challenging. The difficulty of this series I'm preaching, and it's based on the book The King Jesus Gospel by Scott McKnight, is that I'm challenging the very principles of what I have been raised and taught to believe about the gospel message. That salvation is the point and the good news. Now, you can imagine why that's difficult for me to preach. I mean, my gut instinct is to say emphatically, well, of course salvation is the point. That salvation is the good news. But it's not the full gospel. And that's where we find ourselves struggling as a church today. We have made salvation the central point of all and have lost what it was to lead people into a place of discipleship. The problem we face is that our evangelical gospel has become soterian. I preached on this already. Soterian means salvation. Instead of euangelion, which is the base root word for gospel, which is ironic that we're evangelicals not doing evangelism. That is the ultimate irony, if there is such a thing. The story, and you'll understand this, and you'll get it now. The story has shifted from a story of creation, Israel, Jesus, Father God, to a story about our personal experience of salvation. Let me say it this way. It has subtly changed from a God-centered story to a self-centered story. That's what I'm trying to get at in the heart of this message. We have shifted from submission to Jesus Christ as Lord, as King, to accepting Jesus as Savior and friend. We have gone from the truth of how we are joining the Father in His story to trading hell for the blessings of heaven. You see the shift. You see the battle, you see the problem. And it's crippling us. It's crippling the church and our effectiveness Not just our effectiveness in reaching the lost, but our effectiveness to raise our own children to love Jesus. That's the problem. I mean, if there's a problem that I can express with as much enthusiasm as that is possible within me, is that we have lost our ability even to raise our own children to a place of discipleship. And that is tragedy. Tragedy all over again. How did this happen? That's what I want to talk about today. What happened? Where did we go wrong? Well, we're going to go to the beginning of the church. And you're going to find out that I don't have a lot of scripture to share with you today, because the scripture that needs to be expressed and talked about is the text. That is the gospel. You'll notice when you read the text, it does talk about what is necessary. Jesus rose again. It talks about our own involvement in that wonderful truth that we too will rise one day when he comes for his bride. We see the truth of the gospel there, and we see our part in it through the personal experience of salvation, which is real and needed for all of us. But we have focused so much so on the personal experience of salvation that we have lost that he is master and he is king. And the depths and the understanding of who God is has become secondary to our own personal experiences. And that's tragedy. That's what's causing problems in our current evangelical church ministries. So we're going to go back to the rule of faith and the creeds. The earliest Christians developed three principal creeds of the Christian faith. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and something I'm not going to break down today is the Chalcedon definition. Now, out of curiosity, how many of you have heard of the Apostles' Creed? Quite a few of you. A large number, actually. How many have heard of the Nicene Creed? Less than half of the first. And I understand that. We have a picture of the creeds, and we're going to get into those in just a little bit so you can see them along with me. We'll read them together. The creeds articulated what is both implicit and explicit in Paul's gospel message. Now, you might wonder, what does implicit mean? Well, it's simple. It's implied. What is implied by what Paul said about his gospel, and what is expressed in great detail? What's explicit? There are two ways to look at what he shares in his message that we call the gospel. And it is both implicit and explicit, and the creeds express them both very well. And there is one part of the creeds that we react against. And you'll see it when we read it together. And you'll understand some of the reason why. So let's bring up the Apostles' Creed. And I have it in front of me. If it's going to be too small to read, I don't know how that's going to look for you. It's pretty small. But I'll read it, so you'll have to trust I'm reading it correctly, I guess. You can look it up on your phones, too. The Apostles' Creed. Here it is. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Is there anything at all in that expression that you would disagree with? Nothing. We 100% agree. This is good. This is right. This is taking the very words from 1 Corinthians and putting them into a creed form. And then we get to this next section. This is where we sometimes want to balk or react against. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Catholic Church. No offense, Catholics, please. I don't want you to misread me or misunderstand. But here's the problem. The Holy Catholic... Wait a minute. I'm not a Catholic. I don't go to a Catholic church. I've not been baptized Catholic. I'm not one of that particular branch of Christian faiths. As a matter of fact, I'm a Protestant. I am one who went away from the Catholic Church, right? And yet, you go to a community gathering of churches, of Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, Assembly of God, or whatever. You take all these churches together, and there are times in a community service, it is said together as a congregation, the Apostles' Creed. And I still remember the first time I did this as a pastor, and I'm like, this is good. I remember this. I remember learning this in Bible college, right? The only place I've ever heard of it, by the way. True. Never heard. What in the world is the Apostles' Creed? I'm 18 years old, freshman in Bible college, and I've never even known there was such a thing. Some of you are like, well, I didn't grow up in the assemblies. I had to memorize it when I was 3 years old. Well, maybe 5 or 10 or what have you. Because it was very, very important to your church and your denomination. But I still remember I'm reading it or saying it along with the whole congregation and everybody's saying it with me. And that's just something we don't do in the Assemblies of God. So it's like kind of cool and weird all at the same time, right? In the liturgy and that style of service. And we got to the, and we've got every denomination present. And everybody says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? Hey, wait a minute. I can't say that. Well, I'm going to break it down in just a few minutes. The communion of saints. Are we okay with that? Absolutely. We're okay with the Holy Spirit. We're okay with the communion of the saints. How about the forgiveness of sins? Are we okay with that? Hallelujah, I'm all on board with this one. I love that. I've been forgiven. How about the resurrection of the body, that someday we're all going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to get a new glorified body different than the one we have, and death will no longer be a part of us. Oh, yeah, I'm with you on this one. And life everlasting, amen. There's nothing here that I disagree with. It's solid, foundational gospel truth. But we left the Catholic Church. We've took a stand against religion being a way of salvation and have emphasized, and rightly so, that we all need to have a personal relationship with God. Religion will not save you. I don't care if you're Assembly of God, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, I don't care what you hold as your church. You will not be saved because you are religiously faithful. You will only find salvation through Jesus Christ, who is now your Lord and your Savior, through the born-again experience. That's truth. But that's also expressed in here, isn't it? And so what have we done? Well, we have taken something that we have fought against, the hierarchical different liturgical church experience, and we've gone so far away and pushed so hard that we have lost the depths and the understanding of where we've come from. And we have made the gospel message about a personal salvation experience and have forgotten about God the Father, creator of heavens and the earth, in the depths of who he truly is in our lives and all that defines the good news. By the way, the gospel was being preached from the very beginning of time. When it was said that Adam, who had sinned, would do what? Bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the head of the serpent. That's part of the gospel message. It's the good news that entails the story. The story that God has had for us from the beginning of time. The story of his creation. The story of the Bible. The story of his plan that started through the people that he had chosen in Abraham and all of those descendants through Jesus Christ to fulfill the story of Israel and Jesus. And now we are all grafted into the very vine as joining in the story as it was meant to be from the beginning, as it was with Adam, so it now has become once again. But we don't like that word. Well, the word Catholic means universal. It's a Latin word, taking what was in the Greek and changing it to Latin, and the meaning is the same. So are you okay if we understand that when we say this, I believe in the Holy Spirit and the universal church, meaning that all people, nations, and languages, male, female, free, slave, all people can be saved. Are you good with that? Are you okay with that? Is that something that we can say, you know what, I have a believer, a brother in Christ that lives all the way on the other side of this world because we are of the same family. We are part of the same body of Christ. We are a universal church called the family of God. I'm okay with that. Hallelujah. So let's not knee-jerk react so hard against this word Catholic and throw, as you will, the baby out with the bathwater, because that's exactly what we have done. We have thrown out the baby because the bathwater seemed so dirty we couldn't even see it was there. And there she goes, there he goes, whoever that baby was. Oh no. Can you imagine who must have coined the phrase? It must have at least happened once, right? You don't make things up without having a really good story of why. But you know what the story is. You know, in the families, they didn't get baths but maybe once a week, once a month for some. And dad gets to take the bath first. Well, guess who's the dirtiest one of the bunch? Dad come in from the fields, and he's like grit and grime and all that stuff, that grease and dirt. He gets in the bathtub, washes himself up. Mom, you're next. All right. Ooh, this is a little bit dirty, but it's not so bad. And you go right on down the children till you get the youngest. And then you take that little baby, and you put him in there, and like, whoa, where'd he go? Are we done yet? Yeah, we're done. Throw out the water. Whoops, there goes baby. Forgot. Bummer. Well, church, that's what we did. I'm sorry to admit it. Let's look at the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed came later. You see, the Apostles' Creed, we don't know when it started. As far as we know, it happened immediately when the church began. From the very earliest stages of the church, the Apostles' Creed was already being said and accomplished and taught. And then we get to 325 AD, and that's when the councils came together to establish the Word of God, to canonize Scripture, and come up with a mandate and an understanding. Who are we? What are we all about? And that's the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all the things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from the true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. Oh, I love this. For us, men, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary. Whew. And became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. I love that they put that in there. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Whew. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Wow, that's something that I'll preach right there. And I just did it. I preached it as I read it. Because it is so good. It is so full of the truth and the understanding of who we are in Christ. Where have we gone wrong? How did we become a ministry of churches all across this nation that is simply focused on the personal salvation and the story being about me and the story being about you? Well, it happened because we created a vacuum when we overreacted against the church that we were trying to move against. And we threw it out right along with that dirty bathwater. It didn't happen overnight. This happened over time. We had other influences that caused us to become who we are. And I want to stress and I want to reiterate and I want to mention this once again so you don't misunderstand. You must be born again. You must have a personal relationship with God. But part of the story that we have missed is the depth of who God is. And that when you come to Him in faith and in salvation, you're taking the wholeness of who He is. Not just the Savior and the friend. You're not just avoiding hell. Hell is the icing on that wonderful, beautiful, scrumptious cake that might be as good as a banana cream pie, but I don't know. Someone made me a special pie. I'm so happy. So good. The cake is where it's at. But we're all slurping up the frosting. And then we wonder why we can't get the depths of discipleship. Because it doesn't flow from our gospel. It flows from the full gospel. The rule of faith came down to us from the very beginning of the gospels. It was not broken. But it did break. Things happened, as you know. When did the gospel become the plan of salvation? And every time I say that, I balk. I like react. I'm like, ugh. It's like a gut punch every time. Because this is my gospel. I'm actually speaking against the gospel I grew up with. When did the gospel become the plan of salvation? We see this as a good thing. But it actually isn't. And that's the most troubling part I deal with. Every time I try to get this word out, I'm like, Lord, this isn't fair. This is hard. This is who I am. This is where I've been. The Augsburg Confessions and the Genevan Confession are part and parcel to what happened to turn us from where we were. And we overreacted after time. It didn't happen in the beginning. You see, there was a reformation that took place that said this: the gospel must lead to personal salvation. It's okay to say amen because that's true. You're all like, I don't know if I should agree with that. He's confusing me. No, this is good. This is good, because what happened is people started relying on the teaching and the knowledge of faith without the application of faith. They could quote scripture and they could tell the creeds and they could pray certain prayers, but they didn't live transformed lives. And so something happened during the Reformation that Luther started that exponentially increased as time went on to bring us to a place to recognize and know that it must be more than religion. It's more than winning wars against the infidels, if you wanted to use terminology of the day. Conquering the barbarians. That's not the gospel, amen? I'm sorry. Either repent and come to faith in Jesus as God, or I will execute you. That's a good way to get some yeses. Yes, please. But is it much different to say, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? Is it much different than that? Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, then you need to have Jesus as your Savior. Okay, I'll do that. Because I don't want to go to hell. Well, let's pray a prayer. Great. Am I saved? No, you're saved. You said you prayed a prayer. That's our salvation? Is that really the salvation that Paul preached? Is that the salvation that Jesus preached? Well, Jesus can't preach the gospel because he can't preach salvation. And yet Jesus preached the gospel. So what's the deal? Well, the deal is the gospel is bigger than just that personal commitment of salvation. It's so much deeper. There's so much more that we have missed, that we have lost. Martin Luther and John Calvin, just to name a couple people, operated with both a profound gospel culture, that's the good stuff I've been trying to bring and teach, and a profound salvation culture. That's also a good thing when it's not distorted or taken out of context. In other words, they both understood the depth of God and his master, king, lordship over their lives at the same time that they recognized the need for a personal salvation experience. They didn't just go one side or the other, they said both. And that's what we need to do. We need to embrace both the understanding of the profound depth of what the gospel is, while also agreeing and understanding that we need a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. However, because of their stance and their profound influence in the early Protestant church, seeds that caused the reframing of the gospel to become little more than four simple points were planted. In other words, the Reformation didn't make it happen, but it started the seed which grew into what it has become. What are those four little points? Here they are. God loves you. You're messed up. Jesus died for you. Accept him. That's our gospel. No, it's not. It's no wonder people get saved and think they're good. I'm done. Been there, done that. And our own children suffer the most. Let alone the young children that we are so thankful to have come to our ministries like Kids Quest, our kids' church, BGMC. We tell them they're saved, they're good, you're fine. Live your life the best that you can for Jesus and go on. No, that's not the gospel. There's so much more. The evangelistic culture of evangelism and American revivalism and the cultural war between fundamentalists and modernists has caused us to lose the gospel culture. Our own heritage as an Assembly of God church has some to blame with how we have come along the way as well. So many of our earliest members came from religious, dutiful backgrounds of dominating guilt and authority. Follow this code of the law, and that's all you need to do. You're saved. But it's all about religion. It's all about doing the right thing, being morally good. And we didn't have a personal connection to God. Someone comes along and says, did you know that you can know God in a personal way? That Jesus died for you and that he has made a way for you to come to the Father and that you can pray right directly to him. You don't have to go through someone else. You can know him. And that we love that, we long for it, we need it. But we reacted against the framing of what was very good so hard that we lost the frame. And now we build our houses of faith on something that can become sinking sand. because our message has simplified so much so that basically what our message has become is avoid hell, go to heaven. That's not the gospel. It's not. It's so much more. The gospel culture and salvation culture are united. In other words, the soterian part of who we are, it's not all bad. Are you glad that it's not all bad? You're like, Pastor, please tell me I'm saved. Please tell me I'm okay with God. We're going to heaven together, right? Yes, yes, please. But I want to encourage you with something that I don't want you to misunderstand. But you're one of, I'm going to use a term I don't like. You're one of the lucky ones. I don't like that word. But the reason I'm using it now is because, as I shared with you the statistics, that of 100 people that pray a personal commitment prayer to follow God, of 100, 80 walk away. 80 walk away. 20 of 100 stay with it. You're one of the lucky ones. You're one of the committed ones. I don't know why you committed. I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you still are in with Him. But I believe you are. I believe you know Him. And that we are all part of that wonderful family, the family of God. What disturbs me is the 80 that walked away. The 80%. It's actually closer to 85% if you take all churches. Because 75% of the people in America say they prayed a prayer of commitment to God. 75%. I'm like, I don't see that in our world, right? I think we can do better. That we can see that 15 or 20% stay with it, become 40%. And you're thinking, Pastor, that's not big enough faith. You can have greater faith than that. Okay, let's go with a 50%. How about we go to 80% stay with it when they come to a place of understanding that God loves them and that they can know Him? How about 90%? Let's just be really extreme and actually believe that every single person that comes to a place of saving knowledge to know that Jesus died for them, that they can know Him in a personal way, that somehow 100% of those that pray that prayer, whether they're 6 years old or 60 years old, they'll stay committed until death. How about we go there? Well, I believe we can if we have a full gospel message. I believe we can have that hope that every person I pray with will never, ever walk away because they are making an educated, knowledgeable decision to understand and know that Master, King, Lord, Savior, God, Creator of the universe, is the one I have committed to and submit to and love with my whole heart, not just a part of me. I give Him everything, not just a little. He is everything to me, and as far as I'm concerned, my agenda doesn't matter. Because His agenda is all. When we can get to a place that people that pray that prayer to know Jesus as their Savior, to find that forgiveness of sins that every person needs, that they will come into it knowingly and willingly, and they will want to know Him more. And say, Lord, I need to know You greater and more and more depth. How can I learn more about You? Oh, yeah. He gave us a book. He gave us a book that tells me all about Him. Did you know there's such a thing as a Bible? Wow. Rather than, you know, you really, 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 really need to come to Bible study. You really, really, really need to read your Bible. You know, you should read it every day. I mean, are you kidding me? Every day? You want me to pray every day? Read the Bible? Oh. You see, if I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, why? If that's all there is, why? Why should I bother to even take the time to do such things? Because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. He's got this amazing story. This story is so amazing. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how complicated and beautiful and wonderful His story is. It would take me, I don't know, 25 years, and I'm working on it. I've been here 4.5. Hallelujah. I'm committed. I'm going to do my best. And if it takes me 25 years to get us through this, we're going to do it. Maybe it'll be 50 years. Well, how old am I? Ooh. That might be tough. 101, still preaching. Or would you turn in your Bible? Well, Lord, hey, if you're willing, I'm willing. But it's going to be something you long for, you desire for. It's going to be like, did you hear about that new movie that's coming out? It's going to be so awesome. I can't wait to go. I can't wait till we have our date night. We get to get the popcorn and the butter, because you got to have butter on popcorn at movie theaters. I'm sorry. And you got to literally slurp it on the best you can, and you just sit back, and you're just going to go, oh, this is so good. This is fun. When you start treating God and your relationship like that, you're good. You're good. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not something that's a chore. It's not something that you, oh, that's right, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, I should be there, because if I don't go, you know, people are going to think these things. And man, you're bringing Him. He's not here. You're bringing Him. He's with you now. Always. I believe we can see that being the hope of our prayers for those who are lost. We must regain the gospel culture without losing the salvation culture. I believe we have the opportunity to bring both. Discipleship doesn't flow from the salvation culture. It just doesn't. Personal salvation does not flow from the fundamentalist culture. And that's what we reacted against. Fundamentalism. Religious duty. Paying penance. You know, pay your way out of hell. Well, purgatory at least, right? I have friends I've worked with over the years. One who was a very faithful Catholic, they were just absolutely angry because of a situation where they couldn't afford to buy their grandpa's way out of purgatory. They couldn't come up with enough money unless they took out a mortgage and were told to do it. That's what Luther revolted against. That's what I revolt against. When I start dictating to you all the stuff we have to do to be saved in the legalistic side, we're walking on dangerous ground. Amen. The fundamentalist part of salvation doesn't exist, but it does bring depth to the understanding of the gospel. It does give depth to the understanding of these creeds and how they are things that we agree with and we should honor and support and know. And so we have to have both. You have to have the understanding that I must have a personal relationship with God, which comes through Jesus Christ my Lord. And it also is something that I need to understand the story that I'm involved with. I need to know how this all happened. I need to know from the beginning of time how this world ever came to be and how it's going to end, because I'm part of His story now. This is my heritage. This is my family. I want to know my heritage. I'm going to go on Ancestry.com. I know. How about read the Bible? Because it's all there. It's all there, and we should long for it. We should desire it. It should flow from our experience of salvation. The church needed to be reformed. The liturgy, the sacraments, and tradition brought religion, and it lost the faith. That's not to say that people couldn't be saved at that time in the church. They could, and they still are. But we need to bring the two together so that we understand the gospel culture and the salvation culture as they were meant to be, as they are united. And so I'm going to close with this, Colossians chapter 1. And this is scripture, so you're like, wow, he's got more than one scripture. That's cool. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 3 through verse 23. It's quite a few verses. Bear with me. Listen closely. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, I don't know how to say that, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is discipleship. He's praying, you know him, you need to grow. You need training, you need knowledge, you need understanding, you need depth. Because verse 11 says, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross, of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present to you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. In the last verse, if indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul, in this expression of Scripture, in this letter, the epistle, he expresses the fullness of the gospel that was preached. And from this gospel flows discipleship. From this gospel flows depth, strength, because the gospel is his story. All of what I read, it included the saints, it included the ones that had heard and had received the gospel, took it to heart, and were saved. They were believers. But the story that was being expressed from the beginning of that chapter through this chapter to where I stopped was still basically phrasing it all as the story of God the Father. The story of Israel. The story of Jesus Christ. and the story that you and I have joined to be a part of this great family, the family of God. I don't know where we go from here. I'm learning as I grow, growing as I have faith in God to raise me to where He wants me to be as your pastor and as your friend. But I believe God has good things, very good things, for this family. And I believe that we're going to see victory after victory, beginning here and spreading into our communities. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord God, thank you for teaching me. Thank you for opening my eyes to things we've missed, to things that my soul has been hungry for. I believe all of our souls are hungry. We need you. We need to be a part of your story. We don't invite you to be a part of ours. Our story is not ours anymore. We're yours. We're part of what you have planned. I pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to see that, to grasp it, and to honor it and commit ourselves into your hands as you have always desired us to. Maybe there's someone here, you're a believer, you know Jesus, but you've never really considered him as your king. You've never really grasped him as master, as the Christ expression truly is, Lord and King. And you want to pray to make that change today. I want to pray with you. Join with me, either out loud or silently. It doesn't matter, as long as it's sincere. Lord God, I know that you have saved me. But I also know my salvation has been very shallow. It has not been the depth of what it should have been. I was thankful to avoid judgment. And I've looked forward to the blessings of eternity, of heaven, family members that are there with you now. But my perspective is wrong. It's been wrong for a long time. Help me to turn it back to you, to see that I am joining you in your story, and that you are my King. You are my Lord, not just my Savior. I will follow you, Lord, all the days that I have on this earth. I will honor you in everything I say and do. And I invite you to speak into my life and help me to grow. I will become your disciple. And I am thankful and overjoyed. I love you. Pray that you either have already prayed that prayer in some way, shape, or form and have been living it, or that today you can begin anew to truly accept him as your King and your Lord, to find that victory in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go.